Welcome to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and today I am speaking with congressional candidate, Mr. Michael Massey. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate you having me.
Where are you from and where do you grow up?
From right here in New Haven. I actually grew up in almost every street in New Haven. I've never had a house that I've just moved around a lot. That's how it is in the hood. I'm mostly from Fairhaven. I would say I'm from Fairhaven. You know what I mean? Like, I spend most of my time in Fairhaven. Even when I move out, I went back to Fairhaven. Like, Fairhaven, my stomping grounds. Right now, I live in the White area. I have a store on Edgewood Avenue, right across the street from Troop. It's called The Black Corner. Mm-hmm. A lot more people. It's a kid store. Like, I like to try to influence the youth, show them that we can do things that everybody don't think we can do. This is why I'm here today.
We're going to go back to your youth. Okay. You bounced around a lot. How did that influence your development?
When you bounce around a lot, every neighborhood you go to, you in opposition. Like, nobody know you. Everybody clicked up, so you gotta grow up hard. You can't go in there being soft or they eat you alive. I lived in the hill, I lived in the ville, I lived in the tray. When I went to Fairhaven, I was 13. So I was in middle school. And when you middle school, you think you're grown. Like, in this city, you go to middle school, you grown now. Like, you dealing with girls, you smoking if you smoke, like, it's you're meeting new friends, trying to get your name out there. Like, that's how it is. You want to be cool in the streets. You want everybody to know you. That's how you meet people. Like, everybody know you. Everybody come around. Everybody giving each other dap. This is how urban people live. This is how we hang out. We are very tight niche in New Haven. I believe this is one of the best cities in the world, in my opinion.
Do you grow up with your mom and your dad, or just your mom?
I grew up with my mom, but I stayed with my father and my grandmother a lot. My grandmother and my grandfather, they have a house on Elm Street, so I would say that was like my mainstay. So anytime my mother tired of me, I got five sisters, so I was the only boy, so I was ran bunches. And every time my mother would get tired of me, I go stay at my pops for a little while. But it was like, I love my mother, love my father. I had a good childhood, I would say. I had fun. I had a lot of sisters, so I need my room clean. My sisters always get it done. Like, my sisters babied me when I was young. I swear.
Great to hear. What values did your mother give you?
Be smart. Like, my mother mother always felt that I could do whatever if I put my mind to it. I try to get good grades. Like, outside of being a rambunctious child I was, I always try to get good grades. I think I had a D before I turned into a B, and I got my butt whooped, and that set me straight. I don't know. Like, when you, I remember when Port Cards came out, you had to get it signed and brought it back, and I tried to turn it into a B, and that was terrible for me.
Wow. You say your father was in your life.
Yeah.
What kind of influence having?
My father is full service. Like, whatever I wanted to do, like, he was down to do. Like, when I was since I was 10 years old, he always let me come work with him, make a couple of dollars. Like I said, I got five sisters and my mother was on welfare. So, like, you really gotta man up. Like, I mean, try to get some things done. Like, especially when I'm getting older, around 13, 14, my mother just stopped buying me stuff. Like, you ask your father. And since my father was on, he was on drugs. I don't really, that was my pop. So he was on drugs. So, but he was always painting, like, carpentry. So I figure But Pops was a good influence and a bad influence on me. Like, he was more street than my mother. I can't even say that. But he was just...
What kept you from the streets? I mean, obviously in those days, you're struggling.
And... I'm not going to say anything kept me from the streets, because I just always wanted to be smart. But the streets caught me early. I've done 10 years in jail. Like, streets caught me real early. Like I said, I didn't have any money. My father was on drugs. So when I first started selling drugs, my father was like, let's go. He was, like I said, my father's full service. But whatever I wanted to do, he was for me. So right now, like, he's really into me having his store. Like, everything I need him to do, he's right there for me. If right now I'm running for Congress, he's right there in my corner. Like, I love my father. Like, people don't understand, when you grow up this broke in this city where a lot of things is happening, you got to grow up early. You have these type of situations with your parents, and they're gonna rock with you no matter what. Like, probably nobody in the world love me more than my father, and he ain't the type of person. Like, I ain't ever tell me he love me, but I just know it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my father would do anything for me.
A returning citizen. That's very impactful in today's day and age.
I'm doing it. People got to know that we can. I always wanted, growing up, I wanted to be the mayor. And then I caught a record when I was young, and I always thought my life was done from there. Like, that's how we're taught. Like, once you got a record, it's hard to get a job, it's hard to do this. I needed people to understand that we didn't die. Like, you just got to change your life around. You can do anything you want. And being that I'm Republican, it was difficult for me to even come out there. And they come out to people, and they embrace me immediately. They like who I am now, and I'm very proud of them for sticking with me through this. Like, they're my backbone. We're gonna do big things in the Republican Party. Like, it's the takeover. Like, Mitch McConnell gone. A lot of these old 80-year-old people, they're gone. It's our turn. We're not just letting these seats go vacant or them to just subsidize somebody in there. Like, we need to start putting our policies together. New Haven been...
You're jumping ahead on me, because I want to stay on track with your story, because that's what inspires people.
Thank you.
During your incarceration, what were your feelings, and did change come about during the incarceration?
Yes, definitely. When you first go to jail, you're feeling sorry for yourself, like the system let you down, or like you just stuck in a rut forever. It's gonna be my life. I don't know what I'm gonna do when I get home. And honestly, I've told the story before, but watching Donald Trump on a speech, and it just snapped for me one day. There's three TVs in the pod. There's a black TV, there's a Spanish TV, and there's a white TV. And I used to always see this old black dude that I used to play chess with watching the white TV, like when it's time to watch news. And he's a very important person in jail. So I asked him, like, why are you always over here with these racist people watching Fox News? And he was like, Trump about to speak. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, we watching it over here on CNN. He was like, I can't watch it on CNN. Like, they spin it, what he's saying. I just want to hear what he's saying. So he told me to sit down with him and I watched Trump's speech. And at the end, he was like, what do you think about it? I'm like, it was a good speech. It seemed like he wanted to do a lot of good things for our people, like for America. And he was like, you go over there to see him, and then right now, they're going to say it was racist, it was divisive, it was sexist. And I went over there, and it's like, everything he said, exactly what they said. I'm like, damn, I just watched this speech. Mm-hmm. It was hit me with the, what's a dog whistle? I'm like, man. Like, you mean he didn't even say it. You just want us to think that he said what you're saying. And I'm like, I just watched this speech, and it just clicked for me right there. I just started paying attention more to the politics, and then I started doing my research, and I could be a felon and still run. Like, all you gotta do is change your life. Like, if you're the best person for this job, you could win that job. Like, Trump ain't never had no experience doing it. Like, he inspired me a lot. He inspired a lot of other people. I wasn't the only person that was planning to come home and go into politics, because we feel like we gotta help ourselves. Like, a lot of our politicians don't know our issues. They've been in Washington for forever. It's like they're guessing. Like, we know what we need to get done. So it was a few of us that said that we would do it. I guess I'm the first shoe to drop. But when I win this election, it's gonna open up the floodgates for a lot of other people to step out there. Like, we could do whatever we put our minds to.
You're listening to the Electric Drum here on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. I'm speaking with Mike Massey, who is an inspiring candidate running for Congress, not state, U.S. Congress. And just during incarceration, people say they miss out on a lot of milestones.
Oh, my God.
How was that? Did it ring true for you also?
My son was not even a year old, and my daughter was still in her mother's stomach, and it killed me for a long time. And I just when I went in, I knew I was going to do better for them. I want to change my life. I was gonna find a way. Like, I wrote three books in jail. I only put one of them out so far, but I wrote three books in jail. And then when I had this revelation that we need to start being our own leaders, being our own role models. I don't want my kid growing up to be who I was. Like I said, there's a lot of people, when you get time to sit down and think, and you're around other good people, like, and I mean, it's slim pickings in there, but when you there's a few people that just, they want better for their lives, and it's difficult when you're thinking it's over, you're a felon, you can't do nothing no more, and I can't have these kids coming up behind me feeling that way for the rest of their life. There's a lot of people that just gave up, and I'm 44 now. Like, last time I was really on some nonsense, I was 26. I did a long bit for that, and I'm grown. I feel like kids need our influence. These politicians, I feel like they our kids don't look at them as role models. Most of our kids don't even know who they are. Me being from this city, every child that from New Haven is going to know who I am. Every person in this district is going to know who I am.
As you're aspiring, what message do you have for the young man that's out there now that has to decide between making it happen immediately or work hard?
You have to put your best foot forward in everything you do. School is everything. Education is everything. No matter what your situation is, as long as you pushing hard, you yourself is pushing hard, you can make it. Like, 5 years ago, I was in federal prison. Now I'm on my man's show, running for U.S. Congress. Like, life has ups and downs. As long as you keep pushing, you only got to win one time. You could fail 50 times. Once you win one time, nobody is better than you. Nobody is better than us.
You got returning citizens out there. They either
can, that's why I'm doing it.
They can either choose to stay busy or revert back.
Yeah, and that's one of my main things about my my policies, like, is recidivism. We got to fix that. Like, people, they come home broke, strong. I've been doing 3,000 push-ups a day. You come home broke, strong, and right back in the same neighborhood that took you. 10 years removed from everything. And I don't believe our politicians, the people that's running the show right now, understand how horrible that is when you put you in a bad city and people expect you to be you when you come home and you don't have a dollar in your pocket. I mean, you went in robbing and stealing and selling drugs, and you come home broke, and the same people that you've been robbing and stealing with out there, and they expect you to be you. That's a difficult situation, especially when it's harder for you to get a job. And we got to find a way for these people, because they're still in these neighborhoods. Kids still look up to them. Like, we have to still deal with you. I believe politicians, they don't know that life. They don't know how to fix the situation. We have our own solutions. I have my own policies to help with this.
And we're going to get into them later. We're going to get into the policies.
I'm not going to run into it.
Because I want to stay here and touch on that. What you're saying is profound, because you go in and you do change and have some level of reform.
Yeah.
But when you come home, they think you're on the same.
Yeah.
How hard is that to prove and reestablish yourself?
Honestly, when I first came home, I got two full-time jobs. I was working 16 hours a day. I don't want y'all to see me. Now, I have to get out the way, because the streets is so alluring. It's so, and I hate to say it like this, but it's so sexy. You could do whatever you want. You know you can make money. Like, you, the women are there. It's you have an exciting life all the time. Even if you're not making a lot of money, you're around the cool people, the exciting people. I had it. That life is so alluring. No matter how much you know is wrong, it's right there in your face. Every block you go to, every people know you. Like, when I, like, everybody was offering me drugs and money when I came home. Everybody, like, people, it's a trap. Like, they want you to be them. They feel like their way is the right way. And when you finally learn that it's wrong, and we gotta do things differently, it's such a draw. I had to get two jobs to stay out the way. I think I've been out and had a drink in a urban atmosphere once since I've been home in 5 years. I've been concentrating on this. I got a store. I put a book out. Like, I mean, I've been concentrating on getting to Congress and staying out the way. And I don't want people to
stay busy.
I had to stay busy, and I didn't want I didn't want to get on nobody's radar, because that's another thing that happens when you start hanging with people. You don't know what they're into. Like, there's people that I know for a fact wasn't no big drug dealers that's in there for 30 years. I mean, I've seen people that I knew are like, man, you been in here? I mean, dude, people ain't never come home. Man, he never had a car. But he's on indictment for 50 keys or more for being on the phone with somebody. And it's heartbreaking. And you really got to see it to really understand. And our politicians don't. Like, our city is, like I said, it's a trap. But we keep voting for people that have no idea. They think that we're just bad people. We're not. We're stuck out here. We come out here broke. We went in broke. Like, these people ain't had no lawyer. Like, they ain't had no $100,000 lawyer for you to think that he would even possibly even see 50 keys. I don't want to get all emotional. Like,
I understand.
We got to fix this community.
There's levels of injustice that you cannot stand. I want to move on and talk a little bit about having the mental fortitude. And what does it take to stay on that course? What does it cost you? How much energy does it take?
Honestly, when I bought this store, I didn't think it was going to be take this much time to get it up and running, and I feel like I lost time with my kids. But my son come in there, he work now, he's 16 now, but I feel like I lost a lot of time with my daughter, and I did all this 10 years without her. I've met her in jail, and it hurts me every day that I don't get to spend that much time with her because I'm working for a goal that's for her, for me, for the rest of these kids that I see every day. But I can't slow down right now. Like we got to make it to Congress. We got to fix our urban neighborhoods. Our urban neighborhoods is the problem. This is where all the people dying. This is where these liberals come and get their cars stolen, and you want to complain about it. Like you have to fix this, but they don't know how. And that's
how
what
do
we
you
have.
Stay focused?
I got
day
you.
In and out. How do you stay focused?
But I like being corny now, and I never would understand that when I was young. Fun and all out in a club and spending money and with this girl and that. I love my wife. Like I like being married. I like being born. I like bringing my daughter to the movie theaters, and I don't want to look over my shoulder. I don't want to have nonsense conversations. I'm not really too nice a person to talk to like all the time. I don't laugh at jokes that I don't find funny. I like being serious all the time. I like when people, I'm about to go ask Mike Mathis, like, you know what I mean? Like, I like that I'm the rock for people.
What was the moment that clicked? And you said, it was watching Trump, but there's always a moment where you just say, enough is enough.
All right. Trump made me want to get into politics. Well, he brought that back for me. But when I'm in jail, and the first time I see my daughter, I mean, I can't touch it like we behind the screen. And I went back to my cell. I never cried so much. Like this will never happen again. Like, I'm never, when I get out, I'm never going to leave you again. Yeah, I love my son. Like, my son is my protege. But my daughter, my heart, like, she, I feel like I met her in jail, and it broke me. You know what I mean? I started reading all the time. Like I said, I wrote a few books, and I wanted to be the best man I could when I came home. I wanted to be at my best. I knew I was going to be at a disadvantage, whatever I do. But my kids is everything.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario here talking to a congressional candidate, Mr. Michael Mathis. One of your policies is student investment. Can you touch a little bit on that and how do you expect it to work?
All right. So right now, and I'm a Republican, so I don't want to mean to be partisan, but this is what it is. Donald Trump is winning in every poll. Every poll that's out there, he's winning. He wants to shut down the Department of Education and reallocate that money to the states. I don't see why we be voting against that. In my policy, that $80 billion, a portion of that will go to these parents that's raising exceptional kids. If you're getting honors on a sports team, I believe that you should be able to get bonuses. Like there's $80 billion with a B dollars about to open up. I don't understand why we are saying that's such a bad thing if we can get part of that money. Like this, parents is working 2-3 jobs. It's hard to keep your kids in line. I have a kid's store. They tell me how terrible their schools is every day. Kids fighting, but they have no incentive. In these poor neighborhoods, money is always the best incentive. And when you open up $80 billion, I don't see how we not even trying to push that in our direction. We need it the most. These urban cities need it the most. And being that I'm a Republican, I crafted a bill that allocate that money to the parents. Right now, I'm thinking $3,000 to $4,000 a child, if they could just incentives. If you go into school, you everything gonna start with honors. Mm-hmm. Like if we get a lot of kids attendance. Getting honors, our kids grow up to be better than we are. It has to be an incentive, and a financial incentive is the best way when you're dealing with people that are so poor. Most of our crimes are financially come from us being so financially under everybody else. It's Black people in general are at the bottom of the bottom of every financial situation. When it's $80 billion that can possibly be infused into these states, of course we should try to be a part of that. I don't understand why people would be opposed.
You are a Republican in a Democratic town.
Yes.
Why? I mean, that's this question I got to propose. Why?
My whole life, I voted one time. We say it's a Democratic town. It's not. 60% of people don't vote. I was one of these people. I was one of these people because they don't give us no reason to vote. We don't have a reason to vote for somebody. You don't put somebody in place that people like me and the rest of these 60% that don't vote, we're not inclined to push for them. Like your policies don't move things one way or the other. My city has been like this my entire life. And if nothing's going to change, why vote was my thinking. I wasn't into politics like that because it didn't move us one way or the other. But when we get a chance to be in the seat ourselves and push policies that will help our community, that's geared around putting money into places that need it the most, we got to take that opportunity. And who better to do it than us? Like, it's not about me. Like, I'm nobody special. I'm just the person that's sitting in the seat. And if it was somebody else pushing these policies, I'll be all for it. I'm nobody special. I'm nothing but you. That's it.
You're running against a Democrat with a tremendous track record. She shows up for votes. Mm-hmm. She's in her community. She is in Congress. How are you going to elevate the position?
My policies are better. And that's the thing where I believe that we keep getting it messed up. We have to vote for the policy instead of the person. I don't know this person. I don't know Donald Trump. I don't know Joe Biden. I don't know these people. Their policy is the only thing that affects me. My policies is better for this community, for this third district, for America. My policies are better because I came from the bottom and I know what it takes to fix this. Like, I'm not just gonna concentrate on people that put money into my campaign, and I don't want to like down anybody. But we in these communities, when these seats open, when there's a 80-year-old about to be out of there, no matter what, however you say, Father Time is undefeated. We can't just let them just insert somebody in her position after she's done. Let's get it done now. You're 80 years old. It's time to move to Florida. We got it from here.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, here with Michael Massey, congressional candidate for the 3rd District. We're running out of time.
Okay.
What message do you have to New Haven and possible constituents?
Go to MatthewForCongress.com. I promise you, I haven't met nobody that haven't said my policies aren't groundbreaking. And that's because they're coming from somebody that's just like you. There's somebody that's seen everything that you've seen. Our urban communities could be better. We just need to stop being so stuck on being a Democrat for no reason. I'm tired of people saying we don't get nothing for our vote. We could be our own heroes. Like, we could be our own role models. We don't have to vote for nobody else. Like, please, just go to MatthewForCongress.com. Check out my policies. Give me a chance. I'll do anything and everything. Work hard night and day. I'm 44 years old. It's our turn to make things happen for us.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for
it's very important that you get that out there.
Friday, I do a Q&A with my wife. We do a Q&A every Friday. You can check in on Facebook. You can ask us questions. My policies is on my Facebook. We got to be more interactive. This is our turn. This is our time. Thank you. I appreciate being here. Everybody in Connecticut, wherever it is, where we, truth be told,
can I say this?
Go ahead.
When I first told these Republicans that I wanted to run, they wanted me to run for state. I said no, because this message has to go out to the world. Like, everybody got to know in these urban communities, if the Republicans is on your side, these Democrats can't keep these seats. Most communities, these urban communities, 90% of Black people vote Democrat. But in these same urban communities, they vote 40% Republican. If we consolidate our vote and the Republicans are on our side, they can't stop us from getting a seat. If my policies is better, if you think my policies is better, just vote for me. Like, they can't stop us. People say, oh, well, you're going against a juggernaut. It's not a juggernaut. People don't vote for her. 60% of our community don't vote, but we can. And I'm going to give you something to vote for. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, and we just heard the inspiring words from Michael Massey, candidate for Congressional District Number 3. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
I appreciate you, man.
All right.
Thank you.
And like always, this is Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and thank you for your listen.